You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Most gracious God, I give you thanks and praise that you do not leave us comfortless, but that you send your Spirit into the world. Be in the midst of us as we're gathered now. Open the living and life-saving word to us. And all this I ask and offer now in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the many transitional moments in our life was years ago as we sent our son off into the world. He was the first of our three. Our son is our oldest, the first of our three to go away to college. And I can remember the year leading up to his departure being a time of sadness for me as my buddy was heading off to school. And I've referenced this before, God in his gracious and mysterious ways that he works, though of course as Jack's senior year went on, God in his mercy made us increasingly insufferable to one another in such a way that that sadness turned to joy as I sent my son off into the world. But one of the things that I remember as we dropped him off, and he and his friends looked at us, and there was kind of this look in their eyes like, I can't believe you're leaving us here, seemed to be what they were saying. But one of the things is, as I was going, one of the things I remember is I thought, well, now I can pray for him. Now I can pray for him. And as I say that, I didn't feel a sense of resignation as if this were some weak offering. Well, I have nothing else I can do now, so I guess I'll just pray for him. But there was a sense of peace, and there was a sense of power in thinking, now I can pray for him, for as we pray, as God has laid out, as Jesus prays for us, as the Spirit is sent to us, as we pray, we are drawn into the very presence and power of God. And I begin by sharing that because we have this morning in the Gospel, the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. And in this 17th chapter, we hear an amazing thing, and in many ways, just I could end here to say that one of the things that we see in John 17 is Jesus prays for his friends. We see that Jesus prays for us. It's an incredible moment. It's an incredible revelation of the love and the grace of God, the desire that he would be connected with us, that we might be connected with him. We hear that Jesus, those whom he calls his disciples, he has also called his friends, and now he prays for them. In the context of his praying for them, his context of his praying for us is in light of their imminent scattering. They are soon to be scattered. Right before this portion which we've read, Jesus prays that he would glorify, that he would glorify God. Then he prays for his disciples, his friends, his followers, and then he prays also for the world. But right before that, you may remember that great verse, that final verse of chapter 16, but take heart, I have overcome the world, is what Jesus says. And to back up just slightly, Jesus has been telling the disciples, of course, that which is to come, that he will be rejected, that he will be betrayed, that he will suffer, that he will be crucified, and that on the third day he will rise again. That critical truth, the truth that is critical to yours and my life and security and hope. And Jesus is sharing these words with the disciples. And you remember, of course, that they have difficulty believing this and or at the very least difficulty coming to terms with what Jesus is telling them. So different is the way of God's deliverance and assurance for you and me than their plans. And so it's so very dramatically different from that which they envisioned that they struggle to hear and to receive it. And right before this, Jesus says this to them. He says, I've said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. Listen to this amazing word. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. And then his disciples said, ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. We get that. We understand that. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus' love, Jesus' prayer for his followers is in the context of failure and hostility. It's in that context, and that word is so resonant to me as well when he tells his disciples, "The hour is coming, indeed, when you will be scattered." And of course, part of what he's referring to is their literal scattering as they deny him, as they run away, as they understandably go and seek cover for themselves. But beyond that, that word resonates with me because I often feel scattered, and I would imagine I'm not the only one. Is that something that resonates with you? Do you ever feel scattered mentally? I'm scattered emotionally, scattered relationally, longing to feel peace, longing to feel assurance, longing to feel a sense of focus and truth, and not being scattered and torn and pulled this way and the other. Again, not just externally, but internally as well. It's real. We deal with what it is to be people who are scattered. And part of what Jesus speaks to and part of what Jesus prays to and speaks a greater truth is the fact that in this world we have an enemy. We have one who works against us by the various names, the Satan, the accuser, the devil, the one who desires to distract us, the one who desires to scatter us, the one who ultimately whose hostility is directed toward us in a desire to destroy us. And Jesus speaks honestly to that. In the 15th verse of chapter 17, he says, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Jesus, speaks to the fact that we often find ourselves scattered, that we often find ourselves torn, that there is one who absolutely works against us. But one of the things that we also see is though that his, as that wonderful hymn says, his craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. And yet the word goes on that there's one, the name of whom, the presence of whom defeats this enemy and scatters him and restores you and me. And Jesus prays for us, and he prays that we might know the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is that Jesus is God's Son. The truth is that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The truth is that God in his grace and mercy has come to seek us and to intervene on our behalf and to save us. That yours and my security, that yours and my assurance, that yours and my salvation is based not on ourselves and what we can do, but what he has done for us. The truth is that Jesus is God's Son, that he has come into the world, that we are not left comfortless. And he prays that this truth and this love might be the reality in which we abide. And what we see is that as Jesus prays and as Jesus speaks, his words are more than hopes. His words are reality. The words which Jesus speaks create the reality of it. We are given a word of hope. We are given a word of assurance. We are given word to us who often feel ourselves scattered internally and externally. Jesus speaks a word, prays a word, and it's a word of truth in which we can abide. And this word is a reality. And in the context of what so often feels hostile and contrary, Jesus speaks a word to us of security and peace, a truth in which we can abide, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. One of my, and I'm just going to go ahead and make a confession to you, one of my favorite movies, 1993, is Tombstone. Any of y'all remember Tombstone? Hollywood Western, and It's a fantastic film, and it's a great cast of characters. Just a fantastic cast of characters. By way of sort of funny, among one of the supporting actors is Jason Priester. So it's funny to think about him, Beverly Hills 90210, and also in Tombstone as well. But my favorite character in all of it is Doc Holliday. That's played by Val Kilmer. And if you've seen the movie, you know that he is an absolutely brilliant and flawed character in the movie. And as is true of a Hollywood Western, there is Wyatt Earp trying to bring about order and trying to bring about safety and health and sort of all good things. Human flourishing is in all of his and all of his gritty desire to bring about human flourishing, that which Jesus speaks of, that his joy and his peace might be in us. But of course, this is a Western, and so they're the bad guys. There are those who oppose and only want to bring destruction and chaos, who desire to profit from and scatter the people. And there's a moment earlier in the film. There's also one of the main villains is Johnny Ringo, and I can tell you're with me right now. So you've got Doc Holliday and you've got Johnny Ringo, and Johnny Ringo, like Doc Holliday, is a fast draw, a straight shooter, a gunfighter. And there's a moment where this altercation, and he screams out to them that I play for blood, is what he says. And there's a moment in that fight is broken up, but there's a moment at the end where Wyatt Earp is going to face Johnny Ringo in a duel. And as Wyatt Earp goes and visits with his friends and prepares, he realizes he's walking to his death because he knows that there's no way he can defeat Johnny Ringo. He's too good. He's too fast, and yet he goes all the same, because that's who Wyatt Earp is. He knows he's not going to win, and yet he knows he's sent in this direction, so he begins to make his way. And as he begins to make his way, the film cuts, and there is Johnny Ringo in all of his sort of violence and arrogance and skill, waiting for the slaughter and waiting for Wyatt Earp to arrive. And you see him coming up over the hill, and it's just a shadow. The sun is behind him. You just see his outline. And then who steps into the light? It's not Wyatt Earp, but it's Doc Holliday who steps in, who's come in the place of his friend. Unbeknownst to his friend, he's come in the place of his friend. And of course, Johnny Ringo is shocked, and he says, you know, my fight is not with you. And Doc Holliday says, yes, it is. Your fight is with me. And just as you said before, you play for blood, and so do I. I play for blood, too, and we have unfinished business. And, of course, the greatest line is, I'm your Huckleberry. That is the line which all of you have seen the movie are probably thinking about right now, but there's this great scene, and, of course, they begin to circle one another, and of course you're waiting for it. Who is going to pull first? And of course, you know where this is going. Doc Holliday wins, and Johnny Ringo is vanquished. And of course, Wyatt Earp shows up on the scene after, and is shocked and surprised, not knowing that his friend had gone before him to prepare the way for him. Well, I think you see, perhaps, where I am going with this, and the amazing message of the gospel is we have one who goes before us, who intervenes on our behalf. Our enemy plays for blood, and he longs for it. He longs to destroy us. He longs to scatter us, and that's a true word. But we hear in Jesus' prayer, in Jesus' life and his ministry, there's a greater word. And it's the word of Jesus' blood, the one who goes before us, the one who takes our place, the one who intervenes on our behalf, the one whose blood is sufficient to set things right, even though you and I, emotionally, mentally, we continue to ride that roller coaster up and down. We're invited to abide in the truth that is Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And as we are sent forth into the world. We're sent not having to know all the answers and having it all ironed out and perfectly mapped out for us, but we go in light of the one who has gone before us, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who prepares the way for us, the one who makes intercession for us, the one who speaks a word of God's love to us on our behalf and promises to consecrate us, to set us apart as his own, that nothing would be able to take us from his hands. Heavenly Father, thank you that you make intercession for us in Jesus, your Son, that your blood is sufficient to purchase our peace, to defeat the hostility of our enemy. And you promise not to leave us comfortless, but to consecrate us, to set us apart in the presence of your Spirit. Renew that Spirit within us, most gracious God. Be ever with us and go before us, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.